Welcome to Exploring the Metaverse, where we explore the depths of virtual and augmented reality and the technology that supports it and how all of this applies to you and me and all the regular, beautiful people. And it's absolutely my pleasure to be here today with our special friend, our co-host, Mr. Tio. Welcome, bro. Thank you for being here once again. How are you doing?
Thank you, Matt. I'm doing fine. Thank you. Everything's good here.
I'm happy we can get to
some content here out.
Well, hey, you know, this is the thing. When there's exciting things in the world, it just kind of motivates us to want to talk about them, right? And try to learn about them and teach each other about it and bring that information to anyone else who might be interested. You had a really good idea for today's show, I have to say. And I appreciate how you have been looking up interesting things and finding information and bringing to light, all sorts of new things day by day. And how could we ignore, you know, the gigantic behemoth in the room, this Apple Vision Pro? This is a big deal, isn't it? I think this is absolutely massive, and I'm excited. Like, just one off, like up front, I've thought about this kind of thing for a long time, and I feel like they're really putting themselves out there in a way that Apple never does. I mean, It's interesting. It's exciting. What do you think? How does it make you feel?
Well, isn't it the topic that basically rebooted your interest in this podcast? We were talking about it. We were discussing about it. And since Apple has entered the room, now this gains interest.
Gains everybody's interest.
Exactly. Like him or hate him. And you know that I'm more of a, not a hater, but... I'm a critic of Apple, but hey, they are positioned in the market where if they do something, they get relevance.
And that's attention. That relevance is, I think, really what is pushing this conversation and this technology forward, because there's a lot of, you know, headsets. There's a lot of little computer things you can put on your face. You know, like, not everyone is on board with this idea. Not everyone even really knows what it is or what it can do or how it can, you know, change the way that we interact with technology and the world around us. And
so, speaking of what it is, let's give our listeners just a quick rundown of what is actually this Vision Pro. What does it do? Why is it a big deal? Basically, it's the way Apple has structured this product and has built this product. It's basically a computer strapped on your eyes. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It has two HD screens on it. It has speakers on the side. It has, it's adapted. In order for you to get this product, Apple has to send you a kit. You have to measure your eyes, your interpupillary distance.
It's so personal.
All this. Exactly. All this kind of stuff. But basically, it's a computer. It's a computer PC, a portable PC strapped onto your eyes with a pretty substantial chip in it, the M2. And it has also a brand new R1 chip, which is the brand new augmented reality or AR or VR chip that Apple has come up for this product. But basically, it resembles any other kind of VR set as far as it goes.
But I feel like it's, I mean, in the footage that I've seen, I feel like it's different in the way that it incorporates the real world at the same time as the computer experience, in that you can wear it while you're out in public, walking around, in interacting within the device, but also interacting outside of the device with the people around you and items and things in your space. I did watch some comical videos about people trying to drink water and trying to get the bottle to their mouth. It didn't seem to be working very well. You know, there's always going to be kinks and use cases and little scenarios that are going to come to light. But I think the thing that's so different to me between this device and the existing ones on the market is how it allows you to I have a hard time even articulating it, to bring it into the real everyday use case, where in that it's similar to a phone, that you're utilizing your messages, your you know, any kind of videos or, you know, email, any kind of productive tasks like that, but also allowing you to interact in real time around you. There's a guy that's already worn one to his wedding. He wore a headset while he was saying his vows and looking into the eyes of his wife. I mean, I feel like this is such a...
I read that today. My friend.
I read that this morning, and, you know, this is why it just piques my interest, because there's so many aspects to it that are moving the entire technological space forward, and I just feel like the people around me, and I don't mean this in any disrespectful way, but it's just a subject that interests me and you, and I find that it's... I just want to shout it from the rooftops. I want to show people the potential. And well, the current $3,500 US dollar device is, you know, not quite within the reach of the average consumer. I feel like it's a window into the future, a potential future, and something that, you know, it's really going to change the way that people interact and use technology.
Well, it's Apple doing Apple things, basically. They grabbed the VR set and they... what they did is they created this new term of spatial computing. Yeah. So basically, it's basically creating an environment where you can have your computing going on, and you can put these windows, and you can have so many windows that you can just interact with your eyes, and you can leave him there and leave him in that room. And go away, walk away with your headset, then you go back to this room and these windows that you created for your workspace or your work environment or whatever that you were working on will stay there, stay in that room, the computer will remember and whatever. It integrates with your,
but if you leave,
MacBook.
It goes away and you have to reset them if you leave your house and go to another location.
Well,
but
yeah.
The concept is there.
It's a first generation product, my friend. Well, even I don't know if it's even a first generation product. It might be a prototype, a generation zero product at this point, even though it's been put in the market because Apple wanted to create the interest in this kind of product, and maybe in 18-24 months they'll come up with
a real killer app, a killer use case. I mean, it seems to be really good at like watching videos. Like the examples that I've seen of people on YouTube and a couple of Facebook videos, mainly on YouTube, is allowing you to watch a video but still have like your hands free, and things it can come with you wherever you're going, so that you can continue to be sort of like productive while also engrossed in content. I mean, is that really a good thing? You know, do we need more of that?
We'll get there later about how this can change.
But so then, like, so what else do we use it for?
Entertainment wise, think about this.
Oh,
entertainment wise, you are going to the movies, and instead of watching a screen, you have this strapped to your head with 3D right in your face.
And I think it's hard. Yeah, immersed. The 3D impact of it is actually in. It seems to be quite insane.
Think of how that will change how somebody experiences a movie, a video.
I feel like this will be the movie content theater killer. Like, they're already maybe struggling. I don't know. I can't back that up. I haven't looked into that. But I feel like they might not be as popular as they used to be, at least in some areas, similar to how, you know, Amazon has impacted physical stores. I look at a movie theater and I look at being able to strap a whatever 100-inch or whatever 3D, you know, movie screen to my face and, like, you know, not have to leave the comfort of my own home. Sure, the experience is different, but people are so conditioned already to consuming, you know, solo media.
Because of COVID.
I have so many good memories from movies as a kid growing up. And, you know, you're going out with your friends and family, and now we're looking at... you know, just getting the movie here in your high-tech theater in the middle of your home. I mean, we already have it to some degree, but when it's so good, it gives you less motivation to go to the theater where it's even better. And yes, the theater I still think would have the edge, the advantage in the overall experience. I mean, they've been iterating on it and making it better over the years.
Will it though? With special audio and 3D video strapped to your eyes, will the theater still have that advantage?
It depends how many kids are screaming. You know, did somebody spill their popcorn on you? Is there a big, huge, tall guy sitting in front of you? No offense, tall friend. It depends. In some cases, I think it'll be fabulous. But, man, for a lot of people, it's an industry-shifting device that could really change where those dollars, folks that are willing to pay for new blockbuster-type content. It's interesting anyway. I find it very, very exciting.
And the capabilities of the device itself, going between AR and VR, shifting so seamlessly between the two, which are completely different.
They're very different. And it's hard to describe that in an audio sense to somebody who's never experienced it. But it's like, imagine looking at a computer screen, but everything around you, everything that you can see is a computer screen. And it might be in a three-dimensional state or it might be in a two-dimensional state. But that is a virtual reality because there's no actual reality that you can even see. You're well in a computer-generated environment. But an augmented or this spatial computing that we're speaking of that Apple's generated is like having the ability to still see the real world, except it's generated through cameras that are looking at the world. And then...
yeah.
Replaying it back to you in a live video, and then transposing video and other aspects on top of the real world around you so that if you're walking down the street, you could have your contact list hovering in the sky just above you if you wanted to tap a name and make a call. On another area of your peripheral vision, you could have a YouTube video playing. You could have a document on another window. All these things can be floating in the air and space around you while still being able to see the person sitting across from you and they not being able to see what it is that you're experiencing.
Exactly, because they see those two dead eyes at the center of the camera
dead,
now.
Heartless.
We'll get better. It will get better. But for now, it feels like somebody's like... Meanwhile, your eyes are going everywhere and it's looking everywhere and you're dead straight, dead vision eyes looking at the world outside of it.
Oh, man. Just before we went live, I was saying how I think it would be so cool if you could rent these kind of devices or experience them in a short-term case, like how you could go to the phone store. Excuse me. You could pick up your new favorite handset, get your new phone, and you could play with it. You can hold it. You can check it out. And you can use it. Now, I know you can probably have some kind of experience at the Apple Store. I don't know. That's a good, interesting question to me to see how they're advertising and marketing it in store, in person, when it has a very robust, fitting process. I would imagine they're not having people use it. But what do you think?
I don't think that. I've not been to an Apple Store in a long time, so I don't know. I don't think that they will have it available to try.
I think it would be an advantage to them. Well, it is. Look at their store. They have a huge store with all the products, and you're allowed to go in there and use anything and everything, and their little special friend, helper, staff people will, help walk you through things. And they really do give you a hands-on demo as far as a sales process. But this, to me, is the kind of thing that needs to be experienced. And I haven't experienced it yet, but I have watched so many videos about it. I feel like I have been there. And having owning a Meta Quest, there is a bit of a pass-through, AR-type aspect to that headset. But looking at the visual fidelity of this Vision Pro, it's like comparing your 2002 flip-phone camera to your current-gen flagship model. I mean, it's... not quite that bad, but it's like two different universes.
Oh, absolutely. It's MacBook strapped to your eyes. So I don't think that Cost-wise, obviously, like there's no comparison.
So what happens when that cost comes down? When we can take a zero off the end and you can get a device with almost the same capabilities for $350, and I look at the idea of outfitting a full classroom of children or a full boardroom of executives or a surgical suite of surgeons and nurses with this kind of high-level technology aiding and assisting in the tasks that they're engaged in, what kind of an advantage is that going to give an organization or a group of people that can use this kind of technology to their advantage? I look at that right now as, you know, me knowing how to use ChatGPT to my advantage and other people not even knowing what it is. It feels unfair. It feels like I'm doing something that... How could this not be there for everyone? And it is. But I think many people don't get how much this could bolster the productivity of, you know, even like the surgeon, for example. You know, they've got the procedure underway, not to be too graphic, coming from the medical field, and, you know, being able to scan the patient with the sensors on the headset, just where you're visually looking to see the relevant information, and maybe to identify structures.
Yep. Your structure, so you can see exactly how things,
you know,
are
finding abnormalities and looking at vessel structures, and there's so much that and having high level AI built into this kind of product to be able to help us interpret the world around us, to identify threats, to identify leaks or weak spots in an industrial mechanical setting, or to look at the tomatoes on the table to decide which one is the ripest that should be used first. I mean, yes, human sensation and human ability and knowledge is always important. But I feel like this is the kind of thing that's pushing us towards a new age of a definition of what actually encompasses human experience and human interaction with the world around us. And, you know, we talk about it being a computer strapped to your face, but I think that's a very rudimentary explanation.
Oh, yeah. It is. But you see, now my critique and my different point of view comes out right here. Like, I would love for a world where this technology is being used in this way, but you envision the world as this is like, I wear my eyeglasses every day. I put it on my side table, pick up my glasses, put them on in the day, wear them all day, take them off at night.
I got my phone, I got my AirPods, like, I'm ready.
I don't know if this kind of device is good enough for the society. Because augmented reality, AR, spatial computing, whatever we want to call it, you're still filtering the world through that device when you're experiencing the external world.
Yeah. No doubt. There's no debate. I mean,
so how does that change how we approach the world, how we approach human interaction, how we will approach our work, how we will, well, maybe work, maybe in a work environment, it will be something that in the future it will be used on a daily basis as we use our computers every day when we go to our work, right?
There was a time that a calculator was a threat to a mathematician.
Absolutely. But this is a little bit different.
It's pushing it, isn't it?
It's because it's not something that... it's not a tool to get the job done.
Well, it is.
It's a tool that's putting us between the job, and it's filtering that job through that tool, and the way we experience our task is filtered through that tool.
What if it's safety glass on the front?
Well, it's not the same thing, Matt.
No, I hear what you're saying. I think it's interesting. And we don't know. And that, to me, is the fascinating thing, that we get the privilege and the fortune of being here now together at the forefront of this potential revolution of human activity. I guess it just depends on what direction and at what level people are engaged in it, right?
Well, you see, I understand that this was the same argument that was coming out in 2010 when these things came out.
Yes.
Right? It's the same argument.
We got one.
People are not paying attention. How will it change the human interaction? People are only using their phones. They're not interacting with people or whatever. And maybe for a period of time, as usual, it might have been that way. Like, people were more fixated on what this was showing them. Now it's just a tool. Maybe it will be the same thing for that. But still, if it's something that we're wearing with the constant of everybody putting their eyeglasses on every day, it's different. I leave my phone. Yeah, I grab my phone every time, but I leave it laying around in my house. It's sure. not that I have it constantly yep. in my hand.
I do the same thing. But what if the kind of technology that's built into this device fits inside of your eyeglasses exactly as you wear them, having no noticeable impact on weight or comfort or style, and offering you a high degree of extra information and entertainment and value? And I don't think that's the same as the full headset, but I feel like the concept is similar in that as they iterate this product further and further forward and making the battery, the tethered battery pack, because we both know that's a no-go for the average Joe. I mean, yeah, you know, I used to have my...
A backpack on,
right?
With three or four bags.
I had a Discman that I put in a basket of my bike on a pillow just so that I could ride down the neighborhood street and not have my little Discman skipping the music, you know. I find it so exciting. And I think that there's going to be, you know, a learning curve, and there's going to be always those outliers who take it too far, you know, who turn it into a bad thing. But just like many other
people driving with this headset on,
right?
Like,
in a Tesla that's already driving for you, why can't I wear my headset while I'm driving?
Do you trust the Tesla driving for you, my friend?
Absolutely.
I wouldn't.
I trust a computer's judgment over people's all the time when it comes to objective scenarios that are clearly defined in an algorithmic state, and the ability for it to act quicker than I can act, and for it to act and to have... Here's the thing I think about self-driving vehicles. It's not just having the vehicle by itself, but having all the vehicles on the road all interlinked and communicating with each other so that we are like in a safety net of transportation.
Absolutely. The point is, do you trust now a Tesla
no.
to drive for you?
No, not today. No.
Well, who is wearing a headset, a Vision Pro with a Tesla now is not very smart,
no,
in my
well,
opinion.
I mean, maybe in a controlled, safe setting, but I wouldn't recommend that at this point. Not
in
based
10
on
years
what
from
I know.
Now, absolutely. In 10 years from now, absolutely. Because as you said, I think that's the goal. Because if you have all the vehicles communicating and you take away the variable of speed, because that's one of the biggest variables. If all the vehicles go at 60 kilometers per hour or 36 miles per hour, you have no variable of speed.
It's a whole
Everybody's
other can
going
of worm,
the same.
But my personal freedom, I want to push the accelerator. I have the right to utilize this machine. Oh, boy. It's just such a crazy future. And I think that's what makes it so fun to be able to sit down with you and talk about it. And, you know, to try to push the envelope of understanding and sort of to see where it goes and to follow the industry and the different trends that are happening. And I know that there's going to be many breakthroughs on this and so many other subjects that I hope we can talk about.
Yeah, it's fascinating. As I told you, like I was not excited because Apple is making the breakthrough, but I'm excited. On the other hand, I'm excited that Apple made the breakthrough because now this really is pushing it forward.
They are setting a bar. They are definitely raising the bar. Whether you're in or out.
Extrapolating that word metaverse from Zuckerberg's hands back into the wild forever.
Yeah, into the wild. Let its definition be free. Let it be yet completely defined. And the concept of the combination of technology and humanity in a multitude of ways to find a sort of symbiotic relationship where we can benefit, we can prosper, but not be slaves to the machine. I am a proponent of tech, but I don't want it to be the master. You know, I still hope
you
that
don't
we
want
can
a
always.
Skynet.
No, I don't. I hope that we can always maintain that safe distance, that sort of comfortable boundary where it is our tool, it is an augment to reality, but not a substitute for it.
Yeah, we don't. There's a lot of fear into that, and as somebody that lives through all the technological evolutions, you see how the vision of some people actually came to reality, and you say, well, Ready Player One, is it actually going to be like that? Black Mirror, is it actually going to be like that? Is it going to be the Matrix?
Professional state to be amplified by, you know, helpful tools that can make our experiences better. But it's a fine balance, and I think that's where we're here to try to add a spotlight, another voice, an opinion, and to try to help keep it moving forward. I'd like to say a little thank you to those people who have reached out recently with interest to join us here on this podcast and to speak with us about it from the industry perspective. If you're still listening, I want you to know that we really are excited to talk, especially about the virtual augmented reality, but of course other technological states that surround that, always trying to stay away from anything that could be, you know, spammy or scammy or untoward for any of our audience. We're not here to, you know, to shill for anyone's short pump and dump schemes or any other type situations. Are we, Tio?
No, we are here to share our opinion, share our love for certain subjects and have a good chat and maybe help people understand technology a little bit easier. We're not here to scam people.
I have nothing to sell. No products. You're not my customer. Thank you, brother. Exactly. I hate to cut you off, but I think it's time to hit back the books, and I can't wait for us to get back together for the next time and, you know, keep moving forward. Thank you very much. I appreciate you, man.
Well, thank you. As usual, it's always a pleasure to have a chat with you about interesting and fun and cool things to talk about with a friend.
Can I borrow $3,500?
Not now.
Oh, US only. Thanks, bro.
I know, right?
Have a great rest of your
day. Thank you. Have a good evening.
And take care. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks for watching. And we'll hope to catch you next time.